speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
How long do you want to live? I trust that if you're like me, you want to live a long time. But in that, we want to live a long and healthy, prosperous life. We don't want to be able to or have to struggle with life. We want to be able to have a good life, yet at the same time, not only to have a good life, whenever we do pass, we would probably want others to say good things about us. Is it possible, though, for a person to live too long? I'm not talking about to live to the point to where they will struggle with health or wealth. I'm talking about, is it possible for a person to live too long to where that they will walk away from God so that they will not be saved in eternity? If you were to die today, how would God see you? Would He see you as a faithful child of God? Now, what if you don't die today? What if you were to die, say, 10 years down the road? How will God see you then? And you say, Kevin, I don't know. That's 10 years from now. Good people, we ought to be able to say the way that I am today, if I am saved, it's how I'm going to be 10 years down the road. Good people, we have in the Old Testament Scripture an individual by the name of Hezekiah, and from this man's life, we are able to see where a man possibly lived too long. And I want to look at this man's life and to draw some points to you and me in our walk with our God. He is identified as a great man of the Bible. In all, when we think in regard to Hezekiah, he had many good and godly traits. You will find as you study this man Hezekiah, he had a devotion to God. He understood who God was. He loved God. He served God. In all, we also see that not only did he have a relationship with God, he was concerned about Israel. Israel had been established by God as the people of God for the purpose of bringing the Messiah into the world. And Hezekiah loved Judah, and he wanted so much for them to serve God and to be loved by God and for God to protect them. Also, we understand is that he had a respect for humanity, not only for the children of Israel, God's people, but he had a respect for human beings abroad, both those of the children of God and those who were outside of God's camp. He served well as a king over God's people for 29 years. He reigned as one of the longest reigning kings over Judah. And during this time frame, we understand is that Israel or the Jews found themselves in a place of peace. Also, they were able to have prosperity in and amongst them, and they had divine protection from our God. His reign was during a very difficult point, though, in Israel. There was evil influences from the outside, and hence they were challenged with immorality. They were challenged by idolaters, those who would bow themselves down to man-made gods. And as a result of this, Israel was impacted by the sins of the nations round and about them, and they displayed an ingratitude towards our God. Also, as you consider this man Hezekiah, we understand is that he built multiple tunnels within the area of Jerusalem. One such is Gihon Spring, and it is 1,750 feet, and it is in an S shape, and that tunnel helped to channel water into the city. And those tunnels, I understand, are still there to this day. From Hezekiah, we are able not only to see this man's life, but good people, we are also able to draw some very vital lessons in our walk and relationship with our God. In regard to this man and the idea that he was a good man, the Scripture indicates that he was able to overcome the evil influences of his father. His father was Ahaz. And Ahaz, in the Scripture, is presented as one of the most evil kings in Judah. He forced his own children to walk through the fire. He was an idolater. He worshipped man-made gods, the gods of the heathen world. He bowed himself down to these gods, and he was seen in and amongst the people of Judah for the evil that he was, that whenever he did die, He was not even permitted to be buried in and amongst the other kings. But whenever we think in regard to Ahaz and then look to Hezekiah, Hezekiah did not follow according to the way of his father. He chose to follow according to the way of God. The Scripture tells us concerning Hezekiah is that he did right in the sight of God. In the context here, he removed the idols that they had been worshiping. He also removed unauthorized worship. He trusted in God and he stood firm in the law of God. And as a result of that, we understand that God blessed Hezekiah so that wherever he went, he prospered. This man was seen as a man who loved God, a man who served God, a man who wanted to make certain that God's people were led according to a godly way. Also, we understand from a survey of Hezekiah's life that he reestablished the Passover within Israel. This was very significant. The Passover has rules and regulations that is stated within the law of Moses. It was a covenant that God had made with the children of Israel, and it was given because of His deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. And Israel was commanded that they were to keep this Passover faithfully and according to the laws that God had prescribed. It was a great and glorious feast in and amongst these people, and it was given as a memorial for them to be reminded of God's love and God's deliverance of them. And Hezekiah, by the removal of this false worship and these false gods, helped to reestablish the Passover in and amongst Israel. But also, good people, the context of Scripture concerning this man's life identifies as that he broke into pieces the brass serpents that Moses was told to create. And one might say, why did he do that? If God wanted Moses to develop that, didn't it serve a purpose? Yes, it did. In fact, you will recall that Israel was to look into that serpent, and that if they were bitten by a serpent, that they, in looking upon that in faith, that they would live. Why then would God have Hezekiah to break him into pieces? Because Israel had turned away from the way in which God had prescribed it, and now they were worshiping these brass serpents. And Hezekiah was frustrated with that. He was taken back that God's people would do that they would use something contrary to the way in which God had given it. And for that reason, good people, the Scripture tells us that He broke them into pieces. The Scripture also indicates unto us is that Hezekiah became very sick. The context reveals unto us is that he was near death, and God told Hezekiah that you need to get your life in order. You need to set things in order. You need to take care of your final affairs with your family. You need to take care of some things that maybe you need to deal with personally in life. And he tells him that you will die. You shall no longer live. And this message is delivered unto Hezekiah by the prophet Isaiah. This man spoke on the behalf of God, and he was a contemporary living and serving during the time frame in which Hezekiah served as a ruler over Israel. Well, how is it then that Hezekiah responded to all of this? Good people, he responded as you and I probably would if we were told that we were getting ready to die. We would weep over that, and Hezekiah was no different. He wept over the fact that he was getting ready to die. And good people, in this, he prayed to God and he said, remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before you in truth, how I have done what is right in your sight. God, please think about the good things that I have done. God, do you want to take me out of this life and to remove those good things? God, please give me another chance, is what he's saying. God, please give me longer to live. Well, what is it that God did? Good people, God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. And the Scripture reveals unto us is that He granted Hezekiah with an additional 15 years. With God, all things are possible, correct? We need to pray to God knowing that He hears us, and we need to pray to God knowing that not only does He hear us, our God listens with favor towards those who are His children because He wants to bring forth good in her life. And Hezekiah prayed to God, God, please help me here. God, please grant me longer life. And God gave him an additional 15 years to live. And we need to understand that if you look to Hezekiah's life up until this point, good people, he would have died faithful before God. Did he live too long? Hezekiah actually turned away from God. And the Scripture reveals unto us that over time, his heart soon became lifted up with pride. How does God feel about pride? The Scripture reveals unto us that God hates a proud look. Why does God hate a proud look? In fact, the context there is where this is stated says that these things are an abomination before God. A proud look literally makes God sick. Why? Because pride goes before the fall. You find an individual who falls in their relationship with God, chances are they had pride in their life. They weren't willing to accept God as their authority. They weren't willing to admit their wrong in their life. But rather they allowed themselves to be filled up with pride and to walk away. And this certainly is what we find to be characteristic in regard to this man that the Scripture identified early on as a man of God, but now a man who is departing from God. His heart had been lifted up with pride. And I will say, the Scripture indicates that at some point there seems to be some sort of a verbal regret of this as well as some sort of a repentance of it. But good people, as you consider the context of his life also, you're going to find is that his life started to revolve around his wealth. He was a man of great wealth. Why was he wealthy? It was because he had stood with God and because God had blessed him with good money, with material possessions, with great abilities in and amongst the children of Israel. And in this, though, he began to flaunt his wealth before everyone. But also, it wasn't only that he flaunted his wealth. Good people, he had a terrible attitude whenever it came to his enemies. He was a man who had a very mighty, a powerful army. And as a result of that, he showed his military abilities, flaunting them before his enemies. But then also, as you look to the context of this man's life, his offspring led Israel to suffer before Israel. In the third year of his borrowed time, he gave birth, he and his wife, to Manasseh. Manasseh, according to the Scripture, was a very wicked king. He reigned for some 55 years in Judah, and he led Judah to suffer and ultimately to be punished by our God. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 13. Did he live too long? I think possibly he did. Whenever God granted him that extra 15 years, if he had not had those additional 15 years, pride would not have been a problem in his life. The idea that wealth, that God had blessed him. He looked upon his wealth before this in the right manner. When it came to his military abilities, he didn't seem to flaunt that before the people before, but now in the extra 15 years, he's done that. And then he gave birth to Manasseh and Israel, or Judah, suffered as a result of this man's life and leadership. If he had not lived beyond that point where God had told him he would die, Israel would not have suffered by that man, Manasseh. Is it possible for you or me to live too long in our life? If we had died in all, where would we stand before God today? But if you die 10, 15 years down the road, where would you stand with God? Good people, today I want to encourage each and every one of us to never allow negative influences to hold us back. You know, as you look to people and their life, so many people today face hardships, and I'm going to say that some face it in their home to the point to where when they are children, they have things that happen to them that mark them and can even be devastating to them in and throughout the course of their life if they will allow that to happen. I think about those three ladies who were held captive for 11 years up in Ohio. And that man, just this past Friday, received a life sentence without the possibility of parole, and he should receive a sentence such as that. Why? Because of the evil that he did to those three young ladies. But you know, one of those who had been held captive spoke. She was there whenever he received his sentence, and she spoke there, but then later she held a press conference out at that house where they had been held captive, and she said, in essence, we were held captive for 11 years in this home. And she said, that could either make me or break me, but I'm not going to let it tear me down or to dictate my life. I'm going to move forward from here. And I got to thinking about that in the lesson this morning. And so many people will allow tragedies in their life to dictate where they are now and where they're going to go in the future. And good people, we cannot do that. As children of God, we need to choose to change. We need to choose this day whom we will serve. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And then we need to transform our lives to say, if we've had devastation in our life, to say, I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm not going to let it dictate as to where I'm going to go in the future. I'm going to change my life. And I'm going to transform my life to a life that's going to serve God. A life that's going to live for God no matter what. So never allow your influences, the negative influences in your life, to hold you back. But also, remember the great power in prayer. As Christians, God tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. Well, what does He mean that we are to pray without ceasing? Good people, that means that we need to understand the importance of prayer. It means that we need to understand the purpose of prayer. It means that we also need to be turning to God each day, multiple times, in and throughout the course of the day, praying God, that God will help us through our difficult moments, that God will bless us beyond those points. And also, we not only need to be turning to God for His guidance and for His help, we also need to be turning to God to thank God for who He is and for the wonderful, amazing blessings that He brings forth in our lives. We need to be turning to God continually in prayer. Hezekiah did that, and God heard him. And God answered his prayer. And the Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22 that God not only hears our prayers, but that He will listen with favor. And He will answer our prayers. Now, it doesn't always mean that we're going to get what it is that exactly we're asking for. We need to ask in compliance to His will. And whenever we do that, and whenever it fits in context of what God's will is for our life and for the lives that we are surrounded by, then the Scripture tells us that because we do those things that He commands us, He answers our prayers. He works within our lives to bring forth the blessings that we are asking for and that we need. But also, we need to understand that our past or present doesn't secure the future. Where we are when we die will determine our eternal state. If you have been a Christian in the past, that will do nothing for you if you die today outside of Christ. If you die unfaithful today, but yet you were faithful in the past, when you stand before God in judgment, your past is not going to help you at all. Also, you may say, well, I want to be faithful to God in the present. Your desire to be faithful, if you're not currently living faithful before God, is not going to do anything whenever you stand before God. We need to be faithful now so that we will be faithful before God in the future. And then so that we will be able to stand before God as faithful whenever we die, whenever we stand before Him in the day of judgment. Good people, today I want to issue a plea to each and every one of you. Please, do not outlive your devotion to God as Hezekiah did. Live your life faithful to God, committed to God, saying, I'm not going to allow the influences of this life to pull me away. I'm not going to allow my personal wants and desires to lead me away from God. I'm going to stand true to God no matter what. Today, tomorrow, the day after that, the weeks, the months, the years to follow. How do you do that? By loving God more today than you did yesterday. By learning more about God each day through a study of His Word than you did yesterday. By getting more involved in the Lord's work today than you did yesterday. By evaluating your life and bringing your life more in line to where God wants us to be today more than yesterday. Every one of us know people who have walked away from God. Don and I know an individual in Indiana, and I will not tell you his name. This individual obeyed Christ in baptism, I'm told, whenever he was very young. When I was growing up, my mom and dad were, you might say, best friends with him and his wife. We would go to their house a lot of times after Sunday evening services. They lived in Marengo, Indiana. We lived in Valene. And I'll kind of give you a description. From Valene to Marengo was about a 15 to 20 mile drive. After Sunday evening services, a lot of times we would drive 15 to 20 miles to their house, and Mom and Dad would sit around and play cards with them or sit around and talk, and us, they had a son, we would go back in the back and we'd play and just have a heyday of a time. The husband and wife both were faithful members of the Lord's church. He was faithfully involved in the work. He served as a deacon in the church. I mean, this man, he was on fire. The work that had been assigned to him by the eldership, he took it very serious. He was always involved and always out in front. He also led singing. He would wait on the table. He would serve in offering prayer. He was always out in front of the congregation doing what God commanded him to do. His spouse eventually was unfaithful to him. He was devastated. I can remember within about a week's time, he tried to commit suicide. I was devastated. My entire family was. To think, how could you do that? Why would you do that? He lived through that, but yet at the same time, his life was never right from that point forward. He walked away from God. And good people, whenever he walked away from God, the man never returned. And he died in an unfaithful state or condition before God. Can a man live too long? Yes, they can. Many have. Maybe some are right now. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you are in an unsaved state before God, think about your life. Think about the future. Think about the judgment that is to come. And set your life in order today before you leave here. That way, if you pass from this life today into eternity, you will not have anything to fear as you stand before our God and Creator.